Hi, I'm Madonna Guy, and this is a natural alternative. Again, I'm really happy to have James Roguski back in the studio. Welcome, James.
Thanks for having me. Got a lot of information. Where'd you like to
Absolutely. You've
start?
had a busy week.
Oh, you have no idea. But it wasn't as busy as last week with the WHA, the World Health Assembly, meeting in Geneva, and quite a lot of surprises and interesting stuff. So if you want, I'll just dive right in.
Absolutely. Go for it.
Okay. So I'll go to the punchline first. Okay. What ultimately happened was the World Health Assembly did adopt amendments to the international health regulations. They didn't necessarily follow all of their rules in order to make that happen, but there's actually quite an interesting backstory behind it. They did not manage to reach an agreement on the other track, the pandemic treaty or agreement or whatever people want to call it. But they did agree to continue those negotiations. The next meeting is going to be in July. They didn't set a date, sometime in July. And they're shooting to get it done before the end of the year. And if that happens, they'll have a special session of the World Health Assembly to, maybe agree to the treaty. And that'll be kind of like an interesting bookend because that's how it started with a special session of the assembly in December of 2021.
Right.
And so, I'm probably going to throw you a bunch of curveballs. So when you see something coming that's different, be prepared. I wonder how many people in the audience got the memo that a treaty was signed on Friday, May 24th. Not, well, I guess for you, about 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
And so on Friday, the 24th, the World Intellectual Property Organization had a treaty signing ceremony. And it's really, I think, very important because it was directly connected to what was going on with the negotiations for the pandemic treaty.
Right.
And so one of the sticking points with the WHO was they were arguing over intellectual property. And that cuts both ways. It's both the intellectual property of pharmaceutical companies. Companies with their manufacturing know-how and whatever it might be attributed to their products. But the other way, from the bottom up, when South Africa and Botswana, as an example, identified what most people came to call Omicron, and they handed over that genetic information, they were not happy that Pfizer and Moderna made a couple of billion dollars by putting that in the booster.
Right.
And they, looked at that as intellectual property piracy and a form of corporate colonialism. In the colonial period, nations would exploit raw materials, lumber or oil and gas or diamond mines or whatever. And so some of the first amendments that were submitted by the African nations and Bangladesh essentially said, well, we're not doing that again. We're not going to give you our pathogens unless there's some process by which they get compensated, they get the benefit from it. And that's all tied into the 1992 Convention on Biological Diversity that had a access and benefit sharing system for like herbs and native wisdom. You've got a lot of, bottles behind you. You're obviously aware of how pharmaceutical companies would learn some native healing information, take those chemicals, tweak them a little bit, and then patent some chemical that's
Exactly.
close but not quite, and make a lot of money. Well, on Friday the 24th, they passed a treaty that essentially said if someone puts in an application for a patent utilizing genetic information, they have to identify the source. And that would be a way of tracking and, getting royalties or benefits or whatever
Yes.
kind of agreement. So it seemed like that agreement, which to me looked kind of sloppy, they didn't even manage to alphabetize the words in their terms at the beginning of the document. One of them was out of order. And some of the other things that were of concern is it looked like it could also include man-made genetic sequences, just somebody using AI on a computer creating something. If it is to be patented, they have to identify the source. And so that seemed to open the floodgates of opportunity for the WHO. At the same time, Tedros was saying, well, you know, it looks like we're not going to meet any agreements. But that was happening at the same time. And so Tuesday, when they came into the World Health Assembly, and they were supposed to be talking about the amendments and the treaty, instead, they said, hey, wait a minute. Let's put together a secret drafting group. And they met Wednesday and Thursday and Friday till like 2, 3, 4 in the morning. And by Saturday, they had actually hammered out an agreement. And while everybody around the world was celebrating, you know, I was watching what was going on. It's like, wait a minute. If you've ever watched any kind of a sporting event where somebody is, you know, running for a touchdown and they're like on the 10-yard line and they start celebrating and they get tackled or they fumble, or, you know, maybe a running race where somebody thinks they're way ahead and they don't see somebody sneaking up on them and they pass them right at the last minute. We got our butts whooped. They got more than they wanted. And I'd like to get into some of the details of the amendments, understanding that the treaty is a little bit, at least for me, a little bit on a side burner. They're starting back up in July, so we'll certainly deal with that when they start talking about it. So I'm gonna ask you a tough question. You may or may not have ever heard of this term. I admit a couple of years ago, I had to look it up.
Yes.
Right. I didn't know what it was. A global public good. No is a totally fine answer. So what a global public good is, I'll give you the definition and it'll probably confuse you even more. But then once I give you a couple of examples, it'll probably be pretty obvious. It's something that you have infinite supply. You could use as much of it as you might ever want to use, but there's always more. And if you use it, it doesn't mean that somebody else is going to get shortchanged, right? Like just because you're using up a lot, there's still more for everybody else. Now, that seems kind of strange until you think about things like sunshine.
Yes.
You could go outside. You could go outside and you know, bask in the sun, and anybody else could do the same thing. If you think about air, you know, you could breathe all you want. That's not going to affect my, I got all the air I need to. There's plenty, right? Grains of sand on the beach, you know, buckets of water in the ocean. This video is a global public good. If somebody watches this video, it doesn't mean that someone isn't going to be able to.
Yes.
Okay. You can watch it 20 times and it's not going to mean that somebody else is not going to be able to watch it. If you create a PDF and you download the document, anybody could download it. Well, prior to all of these negotiations, many people in the WHO and Tedros made the statement that they felt that pandemic-related products should be a global public good.
Uh-huh.
The whole point of these negotiations is nations were not able to get as much as they felt they needed. Maybe it was masks or diagnostic testing kits or drugs. Like the United States kind of for a while cornered the market on remdesivir. And like with midazolam, you know, the UK bought up all the midazolam from France. You know, other issues like Canada bought 400 million jabs for 40 million people. And so if you put yourself in the position of the way people were thinking in December of 2021, not knowing what you now know about the harmful effects of the jabs, they were basically saying, hey, wait a minute, you guys are hogging up all this great stuff. Where's ours?
Yeah.
They wanted equitable access to pandemic-related products. Okay. Now, when they put forth their amendments, especially Bangladesh put proposed an amendment to Article 13A that said, well, we want the WHO's director general to be given the authority to have a allocation mechanism where he could say to country A, well, you have the manufacturing capacity. You have to make this and give it to country B because they need it. And when the review committee looked at that over 4 months and they published their report on February 6, 2023, more than a year ago, they kind of said, well, you know, we don't really want to be put in that position. That's a no-win situation. They don't have the authority to do it. Go back to the drawing board and come up with a better idea. And unfortunately, they came up with a better idea. And that's what's in these amendments. What they did is they said, we're going to create, I'll back up just a little bit. If you've ever heard the idea of if you give a person a fish, they might be able to eat for a day, but if you teach them how to fish, they
Yes.
can sustain themselves. Well, instead of having Tedros tell this country, you've got to give something to that country, they're building a financial mechanism or financing mechanism where, you know, money will come in, all the different financing sources to build out the capacity in whatever nation wants to participate so that everybody can make all of the jabs and all of the drugs and all of the PPE and all of the diagnostics they want, essentially, you know, going for that fundamental goal of, well, there should be so much of this stuff. It should be flowing like water out of a stream, you know, out of a
Right.
spring that just, it's never ending.
So the
Okay.
global good.
The global good. And so, interestingly, they defined relevant health products. And, you know, if it was things like, you know, pure water and
Vitamin D.
vitamin D and, you know, zinc and some other vitamins and minerals and herbs and so forth. You know, the collection that you have behind you, if like if that was a global public good, that'd be, you know, that'd be great. Just take what you need, you know. No. Medicines, basically drugs, vaccines, diagnostics, and they added at the last minute cell and gene-based therapies and other health technologies. Well, that could be like CRISPR gene editing, it could be anything, you know, high value money-making stuff. Okay. And so in Article 13, page 12, 8C, it says that the Director General shall support nations in scaling up and geographically diversifying the production of relevant health products. They, you know, basically Big Pharma is saying, you know, we want to build out our industry everywhere. And the WHO is more than willing to help because that's who pays their bills. And so if you go to page 30 in the document, Article 44 BIS, that means that they wedged it in between 44 and 45, and they didn't want to change all the other numbers. It says it's a coordinating financial mechanism. The mechanism is hereby established. And there's a phrase or a sentence in here that I think is very telling, page 31, 2E, because there were a lot of relevant stakeholders that were very intent on, you know, they wanted this agreement to go through. There's a whole list of like 400 non-government organizations, civil society organizations, foundations. So there's a line in here that says the mechanism shall leverage voluntary monetary contributions for organizations and other entities. So, you know, that potentially is the gravy train where if these organizations understand that there's money available to do whatever the powers that be want to have done, they're in position to take advantage of that. Now, one of the interesting things is in Article 44 BIS, they kind of conveniently did not follow their printing rules. They're supposed to put in bold print all of the new articles, the new amendments. And I admit, the first time I went looking through the document, I went looking for everything that was bold, and I skipped over that really important article. They didn't make it bold. And in 54 BIS, they did the same thing with a paragraph. It doesn't indicate that it's a new paragraph. And it's about the implementation committee. And it says the implementation committee shall adopt at its first meeting. I haven't really seen that it's scheduled yet. terms of reference, which means the rules of how they're going to operate, for the coordinating financial mechanism. So they agreed to have a coordinating financial mechanism, whatever that might mean, and they didn't bother to actually write the rules. Get to do that in the future. Just agree now, and we'll work out all of the money details later. Well, there's nothing here about an audit trail. Where's the money coming from? Where is it going to? How do you decide what your priorities are? You know, which one of your cronies is going to get the contract?
Sounds like the American government.
Oh, exactly. Well, I mean, the U.S. Thank you for reminding me. I was almost going to forget. In the resolution that was voted on to, you know, adopt this, the United States said, along with a couple of other nations who joined in on it, that this financing mechanism can be used for the treaty. So this, in one fell swoop, solved one of the problems for both documents. It's just like, hide, you know, hide the money, right? That's where the money's hidden. Follow the money is always a good way to get to something important. And the intellectual property treaty seems to have answered another one of the sticking points. And so I would venture to guess there's still some things to be negotiated, but those were two of the big issues going forward with the treaty. You know, they think they might be able to get it done before the end of the year. And so I just see this for what it is and what it has always been. It's seeking to have just this flood of drugs and jabs and diagnostics and masks. And, you know, if you want a jab, how many would you like?
Yes.
We got a jab for everything. And the local people who get involved in this will be able to profit from a very lucrative business. Now, did any one person ever in any of these negotiations or in the assembly stop and go, hey, wait a minute, the masks don't stop respiratory infection. The diagnostics are fraudulently using the PCR. The drugs are horrific. And the jabs should be obvious by now that they're not vaccines.
No.
They're biological weapons. Well, forget about all that. We want those to be global public goods. You want to have as much of those as you can ever possibly imagine. So I don't know. Is this insane, greedy, evil, or, you know, D, all of the above?
Yes. I have not seen anything on the intellectual property treaty, you know, so I'm sort of thinking I might send this to a few of my politician friends.
I published that on the 24th of May when they did it.
Well done.
I think I did. It might have been a day after. And so amazingly, the vast majority of people who are in the anti-WHO movement,
yes,
and in the media that is report, they're claiming victory. They're saying, and I'm like, no, these guys actually got more than they wanted. They wanted to get a fish when they needed a fish, and they got a fish factory. Mm. You know, they've got money to build out the capacity to make all that they might ever want.
Yeah.
Now, if they were making vitamins and you know, herbal formulas and stuff like that, I'd be like, yeah, okay, let's give this a try. But, you know, this is just the big pharma is just wagging the WHO like a tail, right? They're just doing their marketing and promotion. This is just a huge, you know, build out for big pharma, tying in with what Catherine Austin Fitz calls Mr. Global, you know, all the financial backing for all of this. And so I don't see this as a victory. Now, it's not an immediate danger, you know, in this regard. But the amendments about international travel and all that still remain, you know, the digital passports. That's not to say that the WHO is mandating those things. It's to say that they're facilitating it And if anybody travels outside of the country, they're going to make it even harder than it was, you know, during COVID. So there's all of that as well, still in this deal. My encouragement to everybody is don't believe a word I just told you. And don't believe a word you see out there on the internet. Read the darn document. Understand that, you know, this is a racketeering operation to build out, you know, big pharma. I've called it the new OPEC, the Organization of Pandemic Emergency Corporations. And while it's not like an immediate threat, like, you know, somebody with a blue helmet from the UN is going to come and knock down your door, you've got plenty of people in your local area who tried to do that, you know, over the past 4.5 years. It's not that. It never was meant to be that. A lot of people made a lot of claims that that's what it was. What it really is was a trade dispute that got settled in a quite spectacular way. And if we allow this to continue, we'll be swimming in, you know, global public goods that are not good at all. Okay. Now, I think you're aware, and maybe your audience is aware, that there's the opportunity for the head of state of each nation to look over this document and write a letter to the WHO, depending upon where people are, from 10 to 18 months. There was a fraudulently adopted change in that time schedule back in 2022. So if you go with the worst case scenario, 10 months, New Zealand, Slovakia, Iran, and the Netherlands should still have 18 months. But it's a very simple thing. Just write a letter to the WHO and say, no, thank you. But getting your head of state to understand, you know, no, we don't want to participate in this. Every nation, you know, was part of the consensus.
Yeah.
You know, and so
our governments so far, you know, they love the World Health Organization. Every opportunity they say.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, you know, my take on it is everyone at this moment in time is so confused. A lot of people are saying, oh, don't worry about it. It's not a big deal. I don't see how giving a blank check to the WHO to organize funding to build out, you know, pharmaceutical industry development around the world in search of, you know, making this be a global public good so that everybody has all that they need. That's a diversion of resources to something that's bad rather than something that's good. And so, you know, I encourage everybody, look over the information. I always give my phone number, you know, 310-619-3055 in California. Use Signal or Telegram or WhatsApp or text me or whatever if you have any questions. But
and your Substack, James?
Just my name, jamesruguski.substack.com. But I'd like to leave everybody with the silver lining in this. You know, it's kind of a dark cloud that's hanging over. It's like, what the heck just happened? But they wanted to put through both of these documents without anybody really paying attention. And obviously, thousands, if not millions of people are paying attention. But they had to put their cards on the table. And so we actually have their blueprint. We have their plan. We know what it is they're doing. For the last year, it was like, well, maybe it's going to be this, or maybe it's going to be that. Could have been this, could have been that. Well, now we know what they're doing. And I encourage people to dig in. I'm working harder than I ever have. And so I encourage people, you know, just look this over, get an understanding of it. You can use it as a sedative. Try to read one page a night and it'll put you right to sleep. Maybe you'll process it in your dreams. Okay. Or nightmares. I don't know. But look through the information and understand that this was not an attack on sovereignty. This was not the WHO trying to tell your doctor what to do or not to do. You've got medical boards that are abusing doctors and not letting them practice properly.
Mm-hmm.
So your local tyrants don't need the WHO to tell them how to abuse people. But we understand now this is their plan. And if you show this to people and you explain it, I don't know anybody who goes, oh yeah, that's a great idea. I want all of our money to head towards the WHO so they can build out big pharma in poor countries around the world.
Yes.
That's not how you stop the next pandemic.
And
That's how
most
they
people
make a
have
lot of money.
absolutely no idea how much money their government is spending on the World Health Organization. Our government doesn't know. So one of our senators, Senator Roberts, he is like a dog with a bone. When he's in front of these Senate committees, they don't know. They do not know. And if they know, they're lying. You know, so he'll say, how much do we spend to the World Economic Forum, the World Health Organization, the United Nations? And he tries to lay down all of the things we spend money on. And he just keeps adding it up. And they say, well, then we've got these committees and we've got these organizations. And it's
Well,
just.
as I was watching the goings on with the WHO, with their assembly, with all of the nations, and as I've watched, you know, they resumed a lot of meetings. You know, they probably had 25 separate meetings of week long, you know, with everyone from around the world coming in. You go, oh, I wonder what the carbon footprint of these negotiations was. I wonder how much money. Someone from Australia did a FOIA request, and for two delegates to go to one of the negotiating meetings for like a week, it was $47,000.
Wow.
Now they went like 25 times with, you know, many people, and that's just one country.
Yeah.
You know, it's like they can throw money at that. You know, they could probably shut down the WHO and give vitamin D to everybody on the planet, and that would actually have an impact.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
Absolutely. There was
they're
a
busy.
fantastic interview yesterday with Dr. John Campbell, and he was interviewing a guy about vitamin D and saying that there's still something in the states under the FDA that's only recommending 400 to 600 international units per day. Like still, even though during COVID, there were studies showing that if you're having, say, 4,000 to 6,000 units a day, if you got COVID, and of course, I don't believe in it because I don't believe the PCR test. So if you got the common cold, the higher the level of your vitamin D, the less symptoms you had. And they're still only recommending 400 to 600 international units a day. So anyway, John Campbell made
It's
a smarty
absurd.
pence comment about the useless eaters on the planet just wanting to go around and work and have children and enjoy themselves. And I thought, John Campbell used the words useless eaters. It was so funny.
Interesting.
But yeah.
I wrote a book 18 years ago all about the lies about cholesterol. I've always given it away. You can go to yourdoctorisaliar.com and download the ebook. It's a global public good, okay? But one of the things that I researched, and this was 20 years ago, so all of this is not even remotely a surprise.
Yeah.
People don't understand that the measurement in blood, when your doctor uses the term cholesterol, it means something totally different. It doesn't mean actually cholesterol. And the actual chemical compound, your body stores it in your skin to act as a natural sunblock. When the radiation hits the cholesterol, it breaks it. It absorbs that energy, protects you. Then it goes to your liver and your kidneys and is turned into vitamin D. So all of the people who are taking statins and trying to lower their cholesterol can't make vitamin D. They also can't make any of the estrogen family hormones or testosterone or pregnenolone, which is important for memory, and a whole lot of other hormones. And so this lie, which is older than me, I was born in 1960, and this started in the 50s.
Yeah.
Everyone who's taking a statin is actually slowly being killed because it lowers your hormone levels, it imbalances them, and your vitamin D. And then you look at the evidence about this. You know, this is not news unless it's the first time you heard it. And if it's the first time you heard it, you got to go, wait a minute. This is not news. This has been buried.
Yes.
How come we didn't grow up knowing, you know, what you just said that John Campbell said?
Yes.
This is the problem, you know, getting good information. What I encourage everybody to not do is don't listen to a word I just said. Look at the documents, read them for yourself, understand what is really going on, and then go look at what people are saying about what just happened and ask yourself, if they're giving you bad information about something that is easily fact-checked, okay,
Yes.
How can you believe whatever else they say? Now, I learned something a couple of weeks ago. A friend introduced me to Gell-Mann amnesia. I had never heard of it, Gell-Mann. It's if you're reading a magazine or a newspaper or watching a news program, and there's something that, you know, maybe you were at the event or you're really knowledgeable about the topic, and you're watching the news report or you're reading the article and you're like, oh, this is wrong, right? You know that it's wrong. And then you turn the page and you read the next article. It's like, did you just forget that they were completely wrong and you think they're going to absolutely be right on some other topic that maybe you don't know all the details?
Right.
And, you know, so I've gotten to the point where, you know, if people keep putting out misinformation, you got to unsubscribe. You got to stop letting all that soak in. The misinformation about the WHO, when I go out on the internet and I go looking to see what I can find, it's almost all wrong. And so, you know, that's not me having an opinion. That's me going, hey, here's what it says.
Yes.
Look at what they're telling you. Where did they make that up from?
Yeah.
And it's amazing. You tell a story to somebody and then they tell it and it's immediately wrong.
Yes.
In some fashion. And then the next person mangles it a little bit. And by the time it goes around the world, it's a completely different story. So I've been telling people for months, when you get to see the final amendments, you're going to be completely surprised that they are not what everybody's been saying. And now you can look and see for yourself what they actually did decide.
International property treaty. Interesting. Oh my goodness.
Intellectual property organization. It's an interesting world, and you know, thanks for having me on to share some of this information with your viewers. And everybody should treat this like a global public good. There's no limit on how many times this video can be shared. So
please do. Yeah.
Please do.
Excellent. Thanks so much, James. You're a champion. Cool.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye bye.
Okay.